This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show on this Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Joining me now from Buff Zone on our First Advantage Hotline is Brian Howell, our Buffs insider. Brian, my friend, we were just talking about the teams that we talk about, like, the regional teams around here, and I'm like, who has anything to really play for this weekend? And I think with the Buffs, you gotta win out to become bowl eligible. That would be good. But also, if Julian Lewis goes out and plays well in these next three games, you got to think that would help with recruits too. Did we lose him? Did we lose Brian? We got you. Okay, we got you. I thought we lost you. But anyway, did you hear? You heard my question.
Yeah, I guess there's stuff to play for. I mean, mathematically, there is, and you know, a week ago at this time, I was saying the Utah game was not how they've been playing. And if they get back to what they were doing, I felt they could go on a three-game run, you know, Arizona, West Virginia, ASU, and get to a bowl game. And as bad as they look last week, it's hard to project any more wins at this point. But, you know, West Virginia has not been that good, so there's a chance. And then ASU's got a backup quarterback, so there's a chance. And then you never know if you're 5-6. So, yeah, there's still that to play for. But I think the all eyes are going to be on Julian Lewis.
Yeah.
That's who Buff fans want as the future of this offense and of this team. And so how he looks this week is going to be really big for them.
I want to talk more about Julian Lewis, too. But, Brian, were you duped? It sounded like Coach Prime thought he got all the media the other day by saying, hey, I might have made a change at play caller and none of you guys knew it. Well, I don't know if that's something you want to brag about. We didn't know because it looked the exact same. The Arizona and the Utah game looked the exact same.
Yeah, you know, whatever change you made, it didn't work.
Yeah.
You might just not have the guys. I don't know. That's interesting, you know, especially because it came out, you know, the next day that they did make that change, and Brett Bartoloni called the plays. And, you know, Bartoloni was his play caller and offensive coordinator in 22 with Jackson State, but he was also, you know, at Jackson State with Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. So that looks a little bit different than trying to call plays for this group.
How bad do the optics look now with a guy like Sean Lewis and seeing what he's doing with San Diego State? And obviously, the Buffs have continued to have this revolving, you know, door between, you know, play callers.
Yeah, it's crazy because when Carl Durrell was fired, Sean Lewis, if you remember, was on that short list of guys Buff fans wanted as the head coach. You know, I mean, he was a hot topic or a hot name for head coaching jobs. And so the fact that they were able to get him as the OC, I thought was a big win. And for whatever reason, that group didn't work out together. And, you know, they lasted eight games together. Sean Lewis is a heck of a coach. And he may not still be here because he's that good.
Right, right.
An OC. But honestly, when he was hired, I'm like, man, if this is a two-year deal with Dion, Sean Lewis could be the next head coach. So it's not surprising to me that Lewis is having success.
Yeah, Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. Well, on the quarterback stuff, I know there's a lot of holes with this team, but you know, in football, that's where we go. We tend to look at that quarterback position. What's your confidence level? Because I'm certainly excited. This adds more juice to the game because I want to see what this kid's got, and you know, that would excite me for what maybe next year looks like. But what's your confidence level like right now for the youngs? I mean, freak, what is he, 17 still, Brian, or 18?
No, he actually turned 18, I think, the day after the Wyoming game last month or in September. But, man, like I said, confidence level was much higher last week when I thought maybe it was a one-off. But I don't know what's happened to this team. And it's hard to have much confidence in the entire group. And Julian Lewis, he might take him out of it. The offensive line's banged up, too. I mean, Jordan Seaton's on the injury report right now. The other tackle, Larry Johnson's on the injury report. So he could be down some guys trying to block for him as well. But I think Julian's really talented. I'm excited to see him. I was encouraged by a couple of things last week, including he's not known as a runner, but he actually had a really nice scramble. I think 15, 20-yard run for a first down. It looked really good. So I'm excited to see him. And I don't think they have to win this game. I think that it would be important for him to look good, though.
Yeah, just be competitive. I just don't understand, Brian, how we go from, because you and I have talked a lot about this, you know, how we go from close game against BYU, close game against TCU, a win over Iowa State. How do we go from that to the Utah-Arizona situation? Is it injuries? Yeah, plus, I mean, what is it?
Well, plus, you know, after Iowa State, you have the bye where everybody has a chance to rest up. And so you think you're going to come out, all right, you're ready to go for that that second half push. And it's just been a disaster. And I honestly have no idea how you go from that to what it is now. And I don't know how you get it back. I mean, on one hand, you can say, well, it's only two games and look what we were before, so you can get it back. I think it's going to be hard to do that. I mean, mentally, I'm not sure where this team is. And I think Coach Prime is telling us a lot about his team mentally by not giving us players, you know, and nobody cares about the media. I understand that. But, you know, when he's not putting players out in front of the media, he's saying, I don't think they can handle that right now. That's telling me that this is a mentally weak team, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. It just seemed odd, and I get it, maybe. Like, it sounds like his heart maybe is in the right place, but it's also, like, this is part of it. I'm always careful to be critical of college players, but it has changed a lot in the NIL world and all that, but it did strike me as a bit odd. You're kind of shielding everybody because you just don't think they can handle it.
Yeah, and he talked about mental health twice in his post-game press conference the other day. You know, the fact that he says on Tuesday that, you know, I want to shield these guys. I'm a father figure and all this stuff. It's like he never would have done that over the last couple of years with Shadur and Shiloh and all those guys. And, you know, I think that in the past he knew he could publicly say what he wanted to say, and he would have guys like his sons and Cam, Still, and Craig and Travis that were in that locker room to kind of be that bridge. Well, now he doesn't have that. I don't think he has confidence in this locker room. He's kind of been dropping hints all year about that type of stuff, and now it's really kind of like, look, I don't trust these guys. And I think that says a lot about this team.
He said after the loss to Arizona in one of the press conferences, Brian, he said, you know, I have the answers. I think it was you. Was it you that was asking that question? I can't remember or not, but he said he had the answers, but he's, you know, he wants to be transparent, but he doesn't want to tell you guys. I thought that was weird too, man. You get to these losing seasons, it's interesting to hear what coaches will say.
Yeah, and again, that's another thing that with his wording, I get what he's saying, but it also makes him look bad, you know, because when he says, I don't know, and then he says, well, I do have the answers, I just don't want to say it, it makes him look bad. I think he knows, but I think he's being very, very careful not to criticize his players and his coaches, and he's sort of been that like that all year. Like, he won't say anything bad about Caden Salter publicly, yet they're very frustrated with him. You know, it's very obvious with that, and so I think that he's bit his tongue a lot in regard to this team this year. And so I think he does know answers. I just don't think that the solutions are necessarily here right now.
And I was just going to ask if they're here. Byron Leftwich, is that a guy that you could see being the offensive coordinator next year?
Maybe. And one thing that maybe we haven't done a good job of relaying this through the media, but like Byron hasn't been here this year.
Yeah,
there was
so
a lot
odd.
Made of. There was a lot made of him, like, coming on staff. He was never hired, and he's not really here. So, you know, he's got a son that's in high school that I think is a star basketball player maybe, and he's been heavily involved with him. So I don't know with Byron. I don't know what his family situation's like and where he's at with his son. But I think that's a guy that you would definitely look at. You know, I think they need a college OC.
Why was – so it's funny with the Byron Leftwich thing because, you know, if you Google, like, where is Byron Leftwich now, like, seriously, the answers will come back and say currently he's with the Colorado Buffs. It's so weird to me. What went down with that whole situation? Why didn't he end up with the Buffs?
I think it's because of his son. I think that he's never wanted to fully commit to the job because he's so close with his son. And I think he coaches – I don't know for a fact as I give this answer. So, but I think that he coaches his son – or mentors him a lot in basketball, I think it is. And so he's heavily involved with whatever sport his son is in. I think it's basketball. And so I just think he's never really wanted to commit to this job where he knew he would be away from his family and his son.
That was an odd one for sure. All right, Brian, what do you think, man? The Buffs are a 6.5 point dog in this game. Do they cover that? Do they pull off the win?
You know, they're very capable of pulling off this win, as we know. Just watching the first 7 weeks, it's just impossible for me to pick that right now based on what I've seen the last 2 weeks. I got West Virginia 35, Colorado 21. I just don't see how this team gets it back mentally from where they are right now.
All right, my friend. Well, always appreciate your insight and taking some time to talk to us. And we'll see what happens the rest of the way, man. But appreciate it, Brian. Have a good weekend.
You bet. Thanks, Brady.
All right, Brian Howell, Buff Zone. Okay, so hands up here. I Steinered it, Mike. I Steinered it. I thought Byron Leftwich was there. And Brian even kind of... Dude, seriously, Google it. Google where is Byron Leftwich. It'll tell you that he's with the Colorado Buffaloes. It's very strange.
Yeah, I had Googled him the other day, and I saw he was with the Buffaloes, 2025 to present.
Yes. CBS Sports did a story on August 1st. Byron Leftwich to join Colorado staff. And then it just never, we never heard about it, and it was never official. I thought he was in some kind of role where he was like an advisor or something, but it is odd that that just kind of went away. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Is Mike Gundy's name starting to really gain some steam when it comes to potential next head coach for the Colorado State Rams? Let's talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Pig City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.